Good morning. Welcome back. Here we are. Beautiful day right here and wonderful to be outside of our church building. We want to talk about the church today. We want to talk about the building. We want to talk about the house of God and how we build the house of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for our people and the technology that we have that can connect us like this. Open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up the Word of God to us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Use me to build up your church and in the truth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's look in the book of Haggai. Let me read something from there. It's only two chapters, but I won't read both chapters. In the second year of King Darius, on the second or the first day of the sixth month, on the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Now this was 520 BC, so 2,540 years ago that this happened, but it's still God's word speaking to us today. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. The people are saying it's not time to build the Lord's house. They were busy building their own houses and farming their land and getting their lives more profitable and more comfortable. So we go on, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? And he's talking about the temple of God. It was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and now they're rebuilding it. And they started with the foundation and they stopped. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build this house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but it turned out to be little. What you have brought home, I blew away. Like the big bad wolf, the Lord's blowing it away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because my house, which remains a ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Covenant. This is before Christ. And what does he say? Last week, we mentioned the blessings and the cursings out of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And we said God made all these promises. If they would obey him, he would give them fruitful trees and vines, and their crops would be very, very plenteous. In fact, they would have to empty out their barns from the last harvest, because they're bringing in the next harvest. They're going to have so much increase. And God would just bless them and make their families healthy. And just, it would be a paradise if they would believe him. That's what God promised to do. And yet none of that completely happened. Why? There's several reasons for that. And this, the theocratic kingdom was a picture of the kingdom of God in the final days after the new heaven and new earth. And so these promises were never completely fulfilled. And so we looked at Psalm 37, and David is saying, why do the wicked prosper? why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? And so he went through this psalm, and he said, okay, now I see that the wicked people are just here for a little while and they're gone. The kingdom of God goes on and on. It endures. It's beyond this life. But God allows us to live with trouble so that we would change our priorities. And we looked into this last week. One of the reasons we don't get everything we desire is because we desire the wrong things. We desire what the world wants. We want the same thing as the world wants. And God doesn't want us to want that. But He wants us to change our minds. And so He wants to draw us into looking at a higher goal and not being easily pleased by what the world wants. Because what the world wants is all passing away. It's all passing away. And so so they began the work with Haggai preaching to them, and they worked, and they started building the house, and they completed it. But even as they started to work on it, God promised to bless them. And then he makes this prophecy. No, it's not me singing.
Yet once a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake, and I will shake.
Yes, Handel's Messiah. I think written in 24 days, people considered it a miracle. All these messianic prophecies from the Old Testament pointing to Christ. And that one came out of Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He said, I'll go back to verse 5. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So the Mosaic covenant, the Sinaitic covenant. And he said, my spirit remains among you today. Don't fear. Now that they're believing God and obeying God, he's going to bless them. But he makes a promise for the future. And he says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake. And so he was saying, I will shake. I can't do it, but he was, I will shake. I will shake all nations. And the desired of nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. Even though the building they built was much smaller than the building, the wonderful, magnificent building that Solomon had built, he said, I will give more glory to it. Why? Because the Lord himself will come. The Lord Jesus would come to that temple. And now by then, it would be added on to by Herod, but it would be the same temple, the second temple. And so, this was God's promise. He said, you're building your houses. You should be building the house of God. First, you need to have priorities. Don't have the same priorities as the world. Don't think like the world. Because the world and everything in it is going to be shaken. And everything that can fall will fall. Also, the world will be burnt. So everything here will be burnt. This building will be burnt. Your house will be burnt. Your car will be burnt. Your clothes will be burnt. Everything will be burnt. But don't worry, you'll have a better one. Better house, better earth, better body. That'll be nice. But God is working now. He gave us new spirits. If you're in Christ, you're a new man in Christ. Remember, we said many times, there's Adam, everyone born in Adam, and then there's Christ, the second Adam. You have to be born again to be in the second Adam. And so the world is Adam. Last week we talked about one of the reasons that God lets the righteous suffer is so that we would learn how to live by faith while we're in the world with opposition. Opposition from the world, the flesh, and the devil. So that we can live by faith when it's difficult. God is honored when we trust Him when things are difficult, when things are against us. And the world is not our friend. The world is our enemy. Well, Jesus died for the world. He did. God so loved the world that He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but to save it. Well, Jesus came not to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. The world was already condemned. Jesus came to save a condemned world, but not the world system. The world system is run by the devil. The world system will never be fixed. The world system will never be saved. Jesus came to create one new man, one new humanity, one new mankind. That's what Jesus came to do. And everyone who puts his trust in Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, for our righteousness, our justification, our sanctification, our wisdom from God, when we trust Christ, we are transferred into Christ. Out of Adam into the second Adam, the last Adam. We're in a new mankind. So that's where we are. The old man is dead. We're new, but we're a new man in an old body, an old earth suit. This is an earth suit. Just like people in space have to have a space suit, people underwater have to have a water suit. To live on the earth, you have to have an earth suit. This earth suit is wearing out. But the new man is not wearing out. You, as a believer, are a new person in an old earth suit, and that old earth suit, that earth suit is wearing out. And some of them wear out sooner than others. But God will give you a new one that won't wear out. You will be forever young. And so, let's consider that. He said, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Again, at the end of Haggai. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. It's all going to be replaced. The world thinks that life is now. And so they want to build the kingdom now. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. All of them. Look at all their splendor. Look at all their glory. You can have all that power, all that fame, all that wealth. You can enjoy yourself forever. Just fall down and worship me. No, Jesus wasn't going to do that. He was going to go to the cross, defeat the devil, disarm the devil, so that you and I could become a part of God's kingdom and move from Adam and the world into Christ, into His kingdom. Now, the Old Testament, they had a sanctuary, a building that they went to and they prayed in this building and they did their sacrifices in this building. And remember what Christ did on the cross? When He died, what happened to the dividing barrier between the holy place and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies? The curtain. It was ripped from top to bottom. Jesus had said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll build it up. Speaking about His body. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is where man and God meet together, where our sins are washed away, and we come into the presence of God. So all of those things in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. So now we're in front of the building. Is this building the church of God? No, it's a building where we meet. It's very convenient. In Michigan, it snows, also rains. We get a lot of wind. It's nice to meet in a building, but we don't have to. It could fall down, be blown up, have an earthquake, who knows? Or even the government could take it away. Because in many places throughout time, Christians have had their buildings taken away by people, by mobs, and by governments. And so the governments of the earth do not belong to the kingdom of God. They belong to earth. They belong to the world. And Jesus is not saving governments. And Jesus is not saving the world. And the world will not build the kingdom of God. Like some people have preached a gospel and then they add to it, they say, oh, this is now. The kingdom of God is now. And if you give me money, God will make you rich and you can live like kings. Paul says, are you kings? Really? You started to reign and that without us, and God has made us apostles like the people at the end of a triumphal parade, the prisoners to be slaughtered in the arena. We go to prison and you live like kings? No, that's not it. That's not, the kingdom of God hasn't come like that. When the kingdom of God comes, it will be when Jesus comes back and gets rid of all sin and evil. The kingdom is not now. So the preachers, the prosperity preachers, are preaching a false gospel. It is not, the kingdom of God is not now. But there's another false gospel, and that is the governments will bring in the kingdom of God. And the governments will get rid of all injustice and sin and things like that. They can't do it. What job does God give the government? Because he says he instituted governments. What job did he give them? In Romans 13, he says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. There's no authority except what God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. There, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the one in authority? Then do what's right and he'll commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. If you do wrong, be afraid. He does not bear the sword for nothing. He's God's servant, an agent of wrath to punish the wrongdoer. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of punishment, but because of the conscience. That's why you pay taxes, for the governments are God's servants who give their time full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, pay revenue. If respect, pay respect. If honor, then pay honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. The one who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, because anyone who loves his brother will not break any of the commandments. Well, Peter says the same thing in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But Paul says something interesting. So he said, what is the government in Romans 13? He says, it's an agent of wrath. It bears the sword. Now, can agents of wrath bring about love and righteousness? No. Not the righteousness that God wants, because God wants righteousness from the heart. What a government can do is make you afraid to do wrong, even when you want to do it. But the government is not able to change your heart so that you want to do what's right. The government can only punish wrong behavior. And and it's punishment. So the weapon or the tool of government is the sword, or in this case, today, the gun. And so wrongdoing is punished. But you can't create love and righteousness from the law. Can the law come in to a family and say, oh, and this is what they say is that the thing that policemen hate the most is domestic violence, domestic trouble. Oh, husband, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. Respect him. Okay, thank you. Thing is solved. No, the government can't do that. Only God can change hearts. The government can only punish your body. It can't change your heart. And even if we say, well, the government can take money and give it to people and say, now we'll behave better, we'll give you money. Well, maybe people will behave better, but it can't change their hearts. So the kingdom of God is not built upon governments. Governments are just there to produce or to keep law and order among people so they don't kill each other and harm each other. But this is what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Verse 2, for kings and for all those in authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. What does he want? Pray for the government so that they leave us alone, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives, so that there will be stability. There won't be killing. There won't be looting. I mean, I don't want someone to steal my house. I shouldn't steal someone else's house. I don't want someone to steal my car. I shouldn't steal someone else's car. That's that's an ethical law that's built into our hearts from God's creation. And that's what governments are supposed to do, is to keep people from harming one another and commend the people that do well. But the governments cannot make people good. They can't make people better. And so governments that promise utopia, that promise a good society, these are built on lies. And we talked in the past that last week, we said one of the reasons that God has us here living on the earth when there's still sin going on, because we were sinners brought to Christ. He's changing our lives. And now we are inviting other people to come out of the world, leave Adam, come into Christ, leave the old dead man behind and put on Christ and his character and his behavior. Live as new men and women on the earth. And as we now are united in Christ, not united because of our birth and our language and culture and economic and social strata or our education or our skills. No, not built on those things, but built only on Christ. And so the church, the house of God, not built with stones and bricks like the temple was, but Peter said, living stones. You are a living stone, and you make up the temple of God. And God is continuing to build his temple by adding more people to come out of Adam, come out of the world into Christ. And so it's time to stop building our own houses. That's what the world is doing. You are here on the earth to build the kingdom of God. Now, do you have to live in a house? Yes. Do you have to eat food? Yes. You have to wear clothes? Yes. In fact, the government will do something if you walk around without clothes. No, you need clothes. We need these things, but they are not where our life is. They're only things that we need so that we can live our life on the earth to be witnesses for Jesus Christ and to tell the world that the God who created them loves them and doesn't want to punish them, but they are under the law and wrath of God. But they can get out of that by coming into Christ, because Christ took God's wrath. He took the condemnation that we deserve upon himself. And so as his witnesses, and as we love one another in the church, this gives some proof to our words. Because Jesus said, I've loved you. I'm going to the cross for you. There's no higher love than a man gives his life for his friends. I'm doing that. This is my new command. You love one another as I have loved you. And as we do that, we show and tell the gospel. We give some proof to it. We're inviting people to join the family of God. But if we're so busy saying, let's have the best life now. Let's live like the world. Let's make our kingdom here now. Let's get rid of, we'll make a perfect world where everyone loves one another and we all sing Imagine by John Lennon or the Coke song. You know, the only thing the world needs now is love, sweet love. You're too young for that. Never mind. No, that's the world and the world's deception. The world cannot be fixed. The world is broken. God's answer to the world is he's going to shake it, shake, 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 shake it until there's nothing left that can be shaken, and only what's permanent can remain. The writer of Hebrews picks up Haggai's comment, and he says this. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. He's talking back to the Sinaitic covenant under Moses. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? So he's talking about Christians, Jewish Christians, who are thinking, let's leave Christ, go back into Judaism. Maybe he's not the Messiah. Maybe we could just be Jews without Jesus. And he said, don't do that. This Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's promises. And he says, if those people standing at the Mount Sinai couldn't touch the mountain and they were afraid to do so, and the mountain shook, he said, you should be afraid to leave Jesus, because God is not just going to shake the mountain. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and everything that can fall will fall. Let me read some more. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate removing what can be shaken, that is what is created, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That's the end of chapter 12 of Hebrews. God is going to shake the heavens and the earth, and everything built is going to fall. And so the rich man's mansions are going to fall, whether he got them from creating Amazon, or he got them from being a football player or a movie star, however he got this money, or he inherited it from his parents. All of those things are going to fall. People that are building their own houses, all of those houses are going to fall. And sometimes Christians, we get into this. We are trying to build a life here. And that's our purpose. That can't be our purpose. Our purpose has to be building the house of God. Not this building, but the church of God. Calling people out of Adam into Christ. And then living like new people. Where he said, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no Scythian, there's no barbarian. We're all in Christ. We're all united in Christ. And that's what God is doing. And we can't be deceived in thinking that governments are going to fix the heart of man. Governments can't fix the heart of man. Governments are only able to control the behavior of man, stopping some of the bad behavior. And they can't even do that perfectly. But the church should not think we can call on government to change society. Jesus' way of changing humanity is to change people from dead in Adam to alive in Christ. That's the answer. And as Christians, we need to do that. We need to stop being deceived by the world and thinking the world's methodology, the world's answers are going to work. They're not going to work. What God does will work. He is making new people from the inside out. He makes people new. He gives them a new spirit. And that's what we need to do, is cooperate with God. And you can turn on Handel's Messiah and sing that song about shaking. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and all the kingdoms. And he's going to build an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your truth. You love the world. Even though the world is sinful and must be punished, you took the punishment upon yourself by coming into the world as a man, bearing the punishment of the cross, a shameful and horrific death, came out victorious. Thank you, our sovereign triune God, that you did this. And now you offer forgiveness and amnesty and new life to anyone that will believe you. Thank you for that. Help us to be your witnesses. May we just use the things in life but not live for them. And everything becomes just a means to serving and building your kingdom, that is people coming in to the family of God. Help us to do that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.